Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Before we begin this morning, let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our precious Father, oh, how our heart is made to rejoice as we realize that we're able, by faith, to enter in by the blood of our precious Savior into the very presence of Almighty God. That we're able, Lord, to, with liberty, approach you. Ask you. You said to ask and to knock, to seek. Lord, we're asking this morning. I pray, would you bless your word? Lord, I pray that you bless it to the comfort and to the salvation of your people. Lord, have mercy, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Continuing on in the gospel according or as penned by John, we're in chapter 6. I'd like to pick up exactly where we left off last time. And this particular passage of Scripture reveals the difference, the evidence, the manifestation of the difference between true and eternal salvation and just a formal, temporary profession. This a group of people had been following the Lord. They had they were referred to as disciples, but disciples merely in the state that they, for a while, followed him. They had seen some miracles. They had eaten of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And our Lord, and this is where we ended last time, our Lord said to this group of people, verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, this particular passage of Scripture is one that I've quoted from, read from. It's one of those passages that, in my mind, is one of those pillar passages when it comes to the very heart of a sinner hearing the voice of Almighty God. And that arresting question. When our Lord said, no man can come unto me except it were granted, except it were bestowed upon him of my Father. What that does is it takes all of the natural ability. Now when I say natural ability, this is what I mean. As a man is born in Adam, no man has the ability, no man has the capability, no man has the desire, unless Almighty God bestows upon one life, gives him a new heart, unless Almighty God gives a man a desire, a true desire. And I'll tell you this, I've recently read where people will hear what is being preached concerning the gospel of God's free grace, and they relate believers as being merely robots doing things that they don't know why they're doing them. They're just doing them. They're coming, but they don't know why they're coming. They're just out of context, out of touch. Oh no! Almighty God gives His people a new heart. He gives them life. He gives them a new desire. He gives them a love for that which they did not love before. They come willingly. There's no believer here coming in heart to Christ by faith because he doesn't want to. He's coming because he wants to. No man can come except it were given unto him by my Father. And here's where we pick up, verse 66, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From that time, many went to the things behind. Those things that they formerly loved. Those things that they formerly believed. Truly, all this glittering is not gold. Then he said, I love the Lord. I love Christ. Obviously, there's a counterfeit belief. The devil's belief, that's what Scripture says. Demons believe in God's sovereignty. Demons believe in God's election. They believe. But they have no love for. They have no desire for. They have no glorying in Christ only for His honor. Remember this. The angels that fell, they fell from heaven. They know who He is. Those demons that spoke out of that demoniac of the Gadarenes, they told Him, He said, we know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time? There is a counterfeit belief. And though we know that from the foundation of the world, the Almighty God's will and purpose stands sure. Though we know that the Lord gives unto His sheep eternal life, and no man that He gives life to is going to perish. Though we know that no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, though men may know that in their head, though we know that obviously based on this Scripture, from that time many of His disciples that saw Him and heard Him and ate the food He provided, saw the miracles that He did, they walked no more with Him. I realize that there is a counterfeit profession that many fall away from. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Like the wayfaring hearers, the word is plucked away from many that hear. It's like the stony ground hearers, many have no root in themselves, and the thorny ground hear us. The cares of this world eventually steal away the hearts of many that profess to believe Him. And I'll tell you this, God's people grieve. They grieve over there. They grieve. There's not a believer that I know. I know how people will say, you know, believers, you're just cold and insensitive, and you don't care and stuff. That's not true. Every time someone, we've had a few come in here recently, slip in the back door, sat down, and I'm telling you, my heart I'm thinking to myself, oh Lord, could it be that, Lord, that this might be one of yours? Invite somebody to come. Say, look, won't you come to service? The service is starting at 9:30. Won't you come? I think to myself, Lord, I pray, would you give my heart to come? Would you come? I want God to save your kids. I do. I want the Lord to save my family, my grandchildren. I do. I've said that before. I'm telling you, when these right here, when he said, here's the truth, he set forth the truth. No man can come except it were given unto him of my Father. Now that's the truth, and you know that. And from that time, many of them went back and walked no more with him. And I thought to myself, I don't know who the Lord's people are. But oh, how I pray. I pray. Lord, magnify yourself. Lord, draw your own to yourself. Lord, your kingdom come. He has a kingdom. Lord, your kingdom come. Call your out of darkness. God's people truly are sensitive. Sensitive to those that oppose themselves, those that run well for a season, those that make an outward profession, but in time forsake the hearing of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They walk no more with him. God's people, they're sensitive. And the scripture says, then said Jesus unto the 12, would ye also go away? Not that our Lord wondered. The scripture says, Jesus knew, verse 64, from the beginning, who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. But he asked this question, would you go away also? He asked this question, according to verse 6 of this chapter, to prove his disciples. For them to be proven, to be shown that they were his. Will you go away? I mean, will you walk away also? Will you go back? Will the things of this world take your heart? Does this offend you? That's what he just asked them. Does this offend you? Then Simon Peter in verse 68 answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is the only answer that can be given by a regenerated saint of God. This is the only answer that there is. Lord, Master, Savior, who is there but you? Are we going to go back to the law? The law that is nothing but a curse to us because we can't keep it? The law that's holy and just and good. Nothing wrong with the law. The problem is me. Am I going to go back to that? Am I going to go back to my own free will? Am I going to go back to my outward profession of self-righteousness, walking an aisle or whatever? Am I going to go back to that? What am I going to go back to? Am I going to go back to that which the Scriptures describes as being nothing more than filthy rags? I who have no wisdom in myself, I who can do nothing, Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You have declared man's total depravity. Lord, you just said no man can come except it were given unto him of my Father. Lord, you just told us. This is chapter 6. We're in verse 66. It was in chapter 6. Verse 37. It was just a little bit before. Lord, you just said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, you said that. Lord, we can't come. We have no ability to come except it were given unto us of the Father. And Lord, you said all that the Father's given you is going to come to you. Lord, you said those that come to you, you're not going to cast out. Lord, you're the bread of heaven. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? I'd ask everybody this morning. The Lord asked these believers. These were believers. Not all of them. But he asked his disciples. He asked 12 of them. He asked his 12. That's what he said. Ask his 12. Will you go away? Let me ask you this. Where would you go? Where would you go this morning? We're not gonna go. Not gonna go to Katie. I'll tell you that. We're gonna go somewhere else. We won't pick. Where are you gonna go? Where will you go? Where would you go and find where Almighty God is honored, where man is abased? Well, John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Where are you going to go? Lord, if you don't keep me, if you don't give me a heart, what am I going to do? Lord, you alone. We believe, verse 69. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What Christ is that? What do you mean? What do you mean? Deuteronomy 18:15. I'll read this to you. Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses speaking here says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. This is a promise. This is a promise given by Almighty God through Moses. He says, the Lord your God is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, one that is in authority. Moses was a servant. He's the Lord of glory. Almighty God is going to send His Son. That was prophesied. All the prophets, He began on those two on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses, Genesis. All the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, those things concerning Himself. And there was the promises and the promises and the promises and the promises. Will you go away also? Lord, where are we going to go? We believe that you're that prophet. Lord, we believe that you are the promised Messiah. We believe, Lord, that the Holy Scriptures have set forth and declared you. We believe, Lord, that you are God Almighty. You're Jehovah in human flesh. Lord, you're the one that spoke all of this into existence. Lord, you're the one that sustains all things by the word of your power. Lord, we believe that you're the one that beheld Jehovah, Father, Son, Spirit, great mystery. We believe that you're the surety that was ever before him. Lord, I believe you're the one that God the Father trusted first. I believe that you're the surety in whom we were all chosen. Lord, I believe it was you whose blood the Father saw in his eternal purpose from before the foundation of the world. I believe you're the one that's ever stood for us. I believe you're the one that's ever loved us. I believe that you're the husband. I believe you're the one that betrothed us unto you in everlasting love. Lord, I believe that you're that prophet. We believe that you are the one that God the Father promised. In Matthew 16, our Lord asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" The scripture says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And our Lord gave the only source of that belief. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." Do you believe this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, this Christ right here, that prophet, is he your Lord? In saving, quickening, grace, mercy. Do you believe that this Christ right here, the Son of the living God, are you trusting Him alone? Does everything else pale into insignificance? Lord, you're my only hope. You're that prophet. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17:3, "This is life eternal. That they might know thee in truth, know thee in peace, comfort, and surety, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Say, you, if a sinner is by the grace of God able to come to Christ as his Messiah, as his surety, as his representative and substitute. God's Christ, God's salvation, God's Lamb for a chosen people, chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. If he is your Redeemer, the great High Priest who ever liveth to make intercession for his people right now in our presence, two or three gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of you. Oh, what a guest. Lord, that you would be here. Lord, that you would bless this little remnant, this little group. Lord, that you would allow us to have the privilege of your presence, and that you, by your Spirit, would bless this word to our hearts. Allow us to feast this morning and to eat of the bread of life. And Lord, that you would cause us to long after you, to hunger after you. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're lilies among the thorns. They're elect. There's a big group of people right there. A bunch of them. And our Lord preached the truth of them, and the Scripture says many of them left. But those that the Lord had given a heart, when he asked him, he said, "You're going to go, Lord, where are we going to go?" We believe, we're sure, you're that Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now you listen, in closing, these words just arrested me. I thought this. It says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? All 12 of them were there. Judas was with them. One of you is the devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And he knew it. Sure he knew it. The omniscient God, sure he knew it. He chose 12 men to the office of an apostle. He chose 12 men. He said, "Have not I chosen you 12? 11 of them he chose to eternal life. And the 11 never suspected Judas. When our Lord said in Matthew 26:21, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." The scripture says, "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Lord, am I the one? Lord, I felt the pains of my old nature within. I know what it feels like to feel that the presence of that sin. I know what it feels like, Lord, to try to pray and find myself wandering. I know what it feels like to read your scripture and then what I just read. I know what it feels like to think the thoughts that I thought. Lord, am I the one? I've seen just enough of myself to think, except he keep me, I'm him. I'm the one. Lord, keep me. Lord, help me. Lord, though many leave, though many left that day, though many don't care, and Lord, it grieves us when some don't continue. But we do know this, except he keep us, we're going to go away too. I do know this, if he's eternally purposed to keep us, we're going to be kept by the power of God through faith. But a believer is not presumptuous. The same Paul said, "I keep my body under subjection, lest that after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." The same Paul said this, "I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." A believer struggles, and by the grace of God, Almighty God keeping him, he seeks after, searches after, strives after to make his calling and election sure. Where are you going to go? Lord, you've got the words of life. We're sure that you're that Christ. Lord, keep me. That's what every believer says. Lord, keep me, or I'm going to perish. Thanks be unto him that we look to. Never to our old profession. You're never going to find a believer that's looking to his old profession. Say, "Well, I know I'm okay because I was in the back." Oh, no. He looks to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Lord, help me right now. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.